Happy Mother's Day. Perception can make all the difference. I told this story Friday night out at the Youth Correction Center, and I've told it here before, but when you're 55, your stories repeat themselves. So get over it. One of my earliest memories as a child is sitting in the welfare office with my mom. I can remember sitting in those hard plastic chairs, my mom grabbing my hand and squeezing tightly, getting more tense and tense. I can remember walking up. I can remember the tension just filling her. I can remember that after we went home, I can remember crying to my dad and saying, "They treat me like I'm nothing." Because there's a perception, isn't there? If somebody needs food stamps, they must be either stupid or playing the system. And they get treated that way. And it's still going on today. I can remember just not too long ago, I saw somebody post something about how if people on food stamps would just stop buying lobster. I was told that at the Youth Correction Center, and I said, "Man, it's made me so mad I wanted to punch somebody," and then I realized where I was at, and I'm like, no, not really. Don't do that. That would be a bad thing. Perception is everything. Please bow with me. Mighty God, Lord and Savior, thank you. Lord, we know, we're confident that motherhood is your plan. And Lord, we know as people we don't always get it right. And some of us have had mothers that didn't get it right. But through it all, we know that motherhood is your plan. And so Lord, we want to take a moment this morning and we want to honor mothers and motherhood. We ask, Lord, that you just would guide me, your spirit would guide me, and that I would speak from your word to your truth, Almighty God. That you would be praised. Thank you. Thank you so much, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we're going to be talking about the story of Naomi, which can be found in the book of Ruth. The story of Naomi is about perception. There's pretty much two ways you can approach this story. There's probably more, but two main ways. The rabbis said, the story of Naomi is the story of a woman who made a horrible mistake and then was punished by God. That's not the perception we're going to track today. I don't think that's the story of Naomi. As a matter of fact, I would like to suggest that really the book of Ruth is about Naomi. It starts with Naomi and it ends with Naomi. So, Elimelech, Naomi and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they move to Moab. And this is where the problem comes in, because there is this passage in Deuteronomy 23:3 that says the Ammonites and the Moabites shall not be included in the assembly to the 10th generation. So they assume that Naomi is breaking the commandment of God here, but there's a problem with that. God never says you cannot move to Moab. He says you cannot include them in your assembly. And if that's what God meant, then David broke this command because he hid his parents in Moab. He goes to the king of Moab and he says, "You know what? Saul doesn't like me much. He wants me dead. He might harm my parents. Can I hide my parents here?" That's not the problem. And by the way, if that is the problem, really this command should be about Boaz marrying Ruth. He's the one that really broke the command. If it's still in play. We might be past the 10th generation here. I would like to suggest that instead of saying they broke the commandment of God, we see a family that is in the midst of having no food for their babies.
That's right.
And they hear that it's better in Moab. So before we're a little bit too hard on them, can we stop and realize and ask ourselves, what would we do if our babies are starving to death? I'm going to move. We might want to think about that when we think about immigration laws. Just throwing that out there and we'll end right there. What would you do? Is your children starving to death? Your children at risk? So they moved to Moab. And Elimelech, and there's another thing here too. By the way, them moving to Elimelech has nothing to do with Naomi. She had no choice in the matter. In her culture, the husband decides that. It's not her. It's his decision. So they go to Moab, and then Elimelech dies. And then the two sons, they marry Moabite women. And then they die. Now, we're not sure the you know, how long and what time frame that happened. All that we do know is that Naomi was, for a period of 10 years, in the country of Moab. Now, the narrative is very brief, but it's very heart-wrenching. When Elimelech dies, it says he left her behind with her two sons. Mahlon and Chilion die, it says they left her alone without a husband or children. So take a moment and try to imagine the grief of that. She's left alone. See, we understand something, that our children are supposed to live longer than us, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's our plan. We plan on that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the natural order of things. So, her boys are gone. She hears that things are better back in Israel. And oh, by the way, what's interesting about this is that we're told right away that they're from Bethlehem. And people reading this story are going to go, oh, hey, because this was written probably after even David. And they're probably going, oh, hey, that's where David's from. Yes. Yes, it is. So they go, she hears that things are better. So she starts going back, and notice that Orpah and Ruth, the daughters-in-law, they start going with her. Now, I want you to stop and think about what kind of woman Naomi must have been. I want you to stop and think that these young ladies, they must have seen something in Naomi that was different. Because they're talking about, they're ready to leave their families, their land, everything that they know to follow this woman. Okay, so they go along the way. We don't know how long, but Naomi, she stops and she says, I've got nothing for you. My life, I've got nothing for you. You should go back to your mother's house. And that's very interesting. It's actually very odd. And when things are odd, we probably should pay attention. The normal way to say it is, you should go back to your father's house. Because the father is the one who is now in charge of their lives. Here's what I think Naomi is saying. In the midst of her grief, keep that in mind, in the midst of her grief, she is saying, where is it going to be better for these two young ladies to be with their mama? You should go back to be with your mom. I have got nothing for you. Where I'm going, I don't have more children. It's not like we left children back there. I have nothing for you. And even if I could get pregnant again and have... Are you going to wait that long? I mean, okay, can we just say gross? I mean, are you going to wait that long and then have somebody that's going to take care of you? And notice what she says. May Yahweh... Okay, I know our English translations don't do that. That's out of respect for the Jewish people. Because they believe that you cannot utter the name Yahweh.
May Yahweh be as kind to you as you have been to me and to the dead.
She's not forgotten God. Yahweh is still very much a part of her life. And that she
also says, may Yahweh give you rest.
And that's very significant. It means safety and security. It's translated that way later on. What she wants desperately for what she calls my daughters, and that's important too. And the narrative always defines them as the daughters-in-law. Naomi always says, my daughters.
What she wants for her daughters is safety and security. She cannot offer that.
That's right.
So Orpah, she's convinced. Ruth stays. And Naomi says, oh, my daughter.
Hey, can we stop there just for a moment and realize that family is not always about biology?
Right. Amen.
I think the Native American culture gets this.
I remember the day that one of the guys out at the Youth Correction Center called me cousin. I was so honored. You guys don't understand. That is such an honor.
To call an old white dude honor cousin.
I need you to know Kathleen is our granddaughter.
That's right.
She is not just a stand-in until our kids decide to have children. She is our granddaughter. Family is more than biology. I am convinced that to Naomi, these girls are not just her daughters-in-law, they are her daughters.
And so she wants to take care of them.
So Orpah leaves. And Ruth, she says, oh, my daughter, you go too. And Ruth says this great speech, right? Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. And that's an amazing statement. Ruth has no idea what that's going to be.
Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God.
Praise God.
Can we see in that statement that through the years she must have seen something in Naomi and how she talked about her people and how she talked about her God?
That's right.
And maybe there might be a little bit of a lesson about how we talk about our church and our God.
Because if we spend all our time complaining about church and then we say, hey, want to come to church with me? No, thank you.
She must have been talking about her people, and she must have been talking about her God so much that Ruth was willing to say, wherever you go, I'm going to go. Where you lodge, that's where I want to lodge, and I want your people to be my people, and I want your God to be my God.
Amen. That's right.
So they get to Bethlehem. And the ladies notice. And by the way, you know what's amazing about the book of Ruth?
It is a story where all the heroes are women. Now, in our culture, that might not seem like a big deal. Okay? But you see, back then, they didn't have Wonder Woman. They had no female superheroes. To have a book where the heroes are women and that it stayed in the canon, do you think God was behind that? Oh, yeah. So the women notice, hey, here's Naomi, and here's where we've got to discuss what her name means.
Because her name means pleasant. That's what Naomi is in Hebrew, pleasant.
And she says, oh, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. Bitter. Because I went away full and Yahweh brought me back empty.
Now here's what's interesting to me. In our culture, we would have had a sit-down talk with her. You know, if you talk to God about God that way. You know what these ladies did, as far as we know?
They let her grieve.
And by the way, do you believe in the sovereignty of God? Because if you believe in the sovereignty of God, everything that happens, good and bad, is on God. Can we get there? The Israelites, when they talked about God, everything that happened was on God. That doesn't mean that God caused everything to happen. But if He's sovereign, He can stop it from happening. I don't think God was punishing Naomi. I don't think that's what she's saying. I think what she's saying is, God is sovereign. He could have kept my babies alive. And can we allow people to say things like that in the midst of their grief?
Yes.
Especially a mother who's lost her husband and children.
Several years ago, I went to the Wisconsin Preacher's Retreat, and there was this guy there named Lance. And Lance, I knew from Washington State, and he went to the same church as my parents.
Yes. Wow. And I did know from talking to my dad that Lance and my dad often did not agree.
And sometimes their discussions got a little bit heated. Okay, you'd have to know my dad. That's probably an everyday thing.
Okay. As a matter of fact, I don't think he got mad. That's just how he discusses things. Right? Hey, you're wrong. You're an idiot. Let's go get something to eat.
Okay. So they've had these disagreements, and Lance is telling me, he said, okay, I need to tell you this story about your dad. I'm like, oh, here we go. See, when they were living in Washington, Lance's wife had a miscarriage. And so there they are in the hospital, and the church is gathered in the hospital room with his wife. And there's too many people, he had to get away. So he goes out into the hallway, and he's looking out the window, and it's raining. It's Seattle, it's always raining. But it matched his mood. And so he remembers it distinctly. And he was just watching the rain and crying. And then all of a sudden he felt like somebody's just standing there. Didn't say a word. He turns around and there's my dad. And Lance says, why, Henry? Can we feel the depth of that question? Why us? Why our baby? Why did God allow this to happen to us? Why? I think my dad did the right thing. He gave him the exact right answer. In those moments, we want to explain it. And because we want to explain it, can you explain to somebody why they lost their child? Well, in our attempts to explain it, sometimes we say some really stupid things.
Yeah.
I've heard people say, well, maybe God needed a second baseman in his baseball team in heaven. Oh, that's going to give a parent a lot of comfort.
My dad just simply said, I don't know. And stayed there and cried with him. I think that's what these ladies are doing. Naomi says, look, I'm not pleasant anymore. I'm bitter. God's taken everything away from me. And they let her say it.
So the reality is, as we are dealing with people who are mothers, we're going to have to understand they're going to go through grief. How do we deal with it? Let them grieve. I know we're scared people are going to get stuck there. And yes, we don't want people to get stuck in their grief. And so if we see that happening, we probably should think of what we're going to do. So there they are in Bethlehem. And Ruth comes up to Naomi, it's the harvest time, and she says, is it okay if I go to glean in the field? In the first place, do you notice the respect she's paying to Naomi? She doesn't just do it. She doesn't go up to Naomi and say, man, you just need to get off of your behind and get out there with me and work. She says, is it okay if I go and glean? I wore this tie this morning.
I'd like to say I did it on purpose, but it just happened to be a lucky accident. Or maybe it was a spirit thing, I don't know. It's the Ten Commandments. Honor your mother and father. I know that's not easy sometimes. But God didn't say honor your mother and father when you're getting along with them. He didn't say when they're doing everything they should be doing. He just says honor them.
Okay, so Ruth, she's got a great mother at this point, and so she's honoring her. She goes out and she gleans, and she meets this guy named Boaz, who is this wealthy, really kind of nice guy that respects her and says, harvest in my fields, I'll make sure you're protected. I can't guarantee that anywhere else because you're a Moabite. Okay. So she comes home after a hard day of gleaning. She eats and she shares with Naomi. And Naomi is like, where did you get this? Oh, I met this guy. His name is Boaz.
What's
her name? A light called hope clicked on in Naomi's heart. Boaz is a relative. And as she's talking to Ruth, she says, I am going to tell you how you can find, and there's the word again, rest. My translation translates it this time, safety. Same word. I am going to help you find rest and security. See, mothers, isn't that what you want for your children? Rest and security. And then you marry some guy that does some really crazy stuff that's dangerous. Okay. Anyway, that's a whole nother topic. You want them to have rest. You want them to have security. And she says, let me tell you how you can find this. Boaz happens to be a near kinsman. And so she tells her what to do, and Ruth follows her instructions, honoring her mother. And she goes out and she does that, and it all works out. And Boaz marries Ruth. He is the kinsman redeemer. That's a huge thing among the Israelites. Mm-hmm. Because women did not have it so good. If they're not married or they're not in somebody's care, their life is at risk. And so it was important to find the nearest kinsman that would redeem you. Boaz is the kinsman redeemer. And then they have a child, Obed. And the whole story ends with Naomi holding that child. And the ladies in the village blessing her. This is David's grandfather. So, on Mother's Day, you never forget, no matter what direction your life takes, no matter what foreign land you might find yourself in, you never forget Yahweh. Yeah. On Mother's Day, I would like to encourage you, those of you who are mothers, I would like to encourage you that the greatest thing that you can do for your children is to introduce them to the kinsman redeemer, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise God.
You introduce them to the kinsman redeemer because you want desperately for them to have rest. My children do some things that sometimes is a little bit frightening, like Corey is right now at a refugee camp. It's not a safe place. I'm so proud of him. There are no guarantees for his safety. It doesn't matter how much he's serving God. There's no guarantees. I know that. But if he knows the kinsman redeemer, there is eternal safety and security and rest.
Amen.
And that's what I want for my children. That's what I want for my granddaughter. That's why my mom would endure the humiliation of people having this perception that she must be either stupid or working the system because she needed to feed her babies. But what my mom gave me even more important than food, because I'll be honest with you, there were days we didn't have food.
I can remember going to college,
and I know I'm very fortunate. There's a lot of people who don't have that opportunity. I can remember at college I'm not feeling very good, and all they had was like sausage stuff. And my stomach was going, oh, don't even go near that and smell that. You will puke all over the place. So I went and got a bowl of cereal. And I sat down and I started to cry.
And another childhood memory came to my mind. There were days that that's the only thing we had in the house. It was cereal. Sometimes, and powdered milk. Anybody ever have to have powdered milk? You might as well just pour water on that stuff.
Yeah. But you know what my parents gave me? They introduced me to the Kinsman Redeemer. Because they wanted me to find rest.
So those of you who are mothers, the greatest encouragement I could ever give you is to do your best. You're going to make mistakes along the way. If you think you're going to do this perfectly, you're going to have to let go of that. You're going to make mistakes along the way, but the greatest thing you can do is to introduce your children to the Kinsman Redeemer.
Amen.
And help them to find rest. But there's more to family than biology. Friday, Erin came out to speak to the kids and told her story. It's a story of hope. When she first started telling the story, it did not sound like the story of hope. I was sitting there going, how does anybody survive that? You know why she did it? Because she has a heart for people who are dealing with drugs and alcohol.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Family is more than biology.
Right. Amen.
We are family. Amen. Lynn said it earlier.
Amen.
You guys did not all come from my mama.
No.
But we are family.
Right. And we love you.
Love you too. And don't we want all of us to find the rest within the Kinsman Redeemer's arms? So, Mother's Day is really a celebration for all of it, isn't it? At this moment, I would like for those of us, or those of you, because that doesn't include me, who are mothers, if you are comfortable with standing, to please stand. And I would like to say a prayer of blessing over you, because I commend you. And by the way, do not ever feel that it is too late to introduce your children to the Kinsman Redeemer.
Amen.
Let's say a prayer. Mighty God, Lord and Savior, thank you. Thank you for the mothers that are represented here in this place. Thank you for the moments that they work through difficult times in their lives. Times of famine and times of grief and times of hardship. Times that were both joyous and scary and full of all kinds of risk. Thank you and bless them, Lord. And bless their children. And Lord, on their behalf, I pray that all of their children would find rest within the arms of the Kinsman Redeemer. If they're not there, that they will find it. If they are there, that they'll stay there. No greater blessing could I ever pray for these mothers. So bless them, give them hope, strengthen them, and Almighty God, may you be praised. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Ladies. If there is anyone here that needs prayers for any reason, we are family. And we would love to pray with you. If you need prayers, please do not be afraid to let us know. If you want to know more about our God, we'd love to talk to you about God. Whatever you need, please come.